And how about now? You just show up in my chambers for the laughs?
No.
I am here in your chambers to put myself in your debt.
In my debt?
That's right.
I am here to ask of you a favor.
Oh, this must be big.
You can see Rob Morrow tonight alongside Damian Lewis and Paul Giamatti in the Showtime series Billions. He just posted his song Good Is Dead, a music video online with proceeds from songs and downloads and streams going to the COVID-19 charity. On the phone with us is our old friend Rob Morrow. How are you, brother? Are you safe? Everything good?
Hey, Pete, good to hear your voice. I'm really good. I mean, despite circumstances, I'm safe and ensconced with my family, and I vacillate between gratitude and concern for the world and those on the front lines. But all things relative, we're doing okay. How about you?
Everybody's safe, thank God. And every time we come to the radio station, and we thank them all the time. This radio station gets disinfected 3 or 4 times a day. And it's the frontline workers, like our guy Fernando, who was on earlier with us, is the people that we have to continually thank on a regular basis.
Absolutely, yeah. It just, I guess I've always been sensitive to people and doing their jobs and stuff, but it comes into such relief how much interconnected we are, and people that have to do jobs that bolster the rest of our lives. You know, it's extraordinary how lucky those of us are that benefit from these people. I personally, that's why we put up the song, you know, for the charity. You know, 100% of whatever comes in, we're just going to give to whatever COVID charities that we come up with. And that means, you know, frontline workers and anyone who's struggling out there economically.
I love this because people can't separate the fact that you're an actor and you're a singer. They're like, is that guy, Northern Exposure guy, the guy on Billions? He's a singer?
Yeah, there's a stigma against it, I guess, for some reason. I don't know where it is, but but there is a little bit. I don't really care because I care, but I don't. It doesn't matter to me. I do it either way, and you know, I was just thinking before I got on the phone with you, I picked up my guitar. Whenever I have time to kill, I just pick up the guitar and I was just kind of strumming around, and I just was saying to myself in my mind, I was thinking this. You know, it's one of the great gifts I've ever got is music. There's something, you know, it's funny. Someone sent me a video the other day of the effects of tones on, like, objects. And they show how a certain note played can make sand move on a table into shapes. And these patterns emerge. And it's always the way I feel because music touches me in a way like nothing else. It has nothing to do with my brain or my ears, for that matter. It hits me in my visceral. And whenever I can be a part of it in any way, and expressing it is like, it's like a drug. It's like taking, I've never taken heroin, but it's like, I imagine it's like taking heroin, you know? There's something euphoric about it. And so I just feel, despite people, you know, sometimes stigmatizing actors that jump out of their lane,
yep.
I will keep doing it until I can.
I think a lot of people feel that way about music, especially now, how we're putting together our self-quarantine music lists right now. I feel that way about music. It'll change my mood in a split second. But we're going to talk about your music in a second. And there's certain, you know, milestones, I could probably say, in your life musically that I want to talk about, too, that I always forget to ask you about. But tonight, Billions on Showtime, you play Judge Adam. And I had to watch last week to get caught up with the series because, you know, it goes away for a year and you forget what happened. So I watched last week. But you, as an actor who is not on every single week, do you have to know the storyline before you get in there and act your part?
I mean, not so much, you know, not so much the stories that don't directly affect me. I mean, I get the script. I usually get the scripts like one ahead of where I'm going to do the one I'm doing, and then maybe one after. So I have a sense of what's going on in the overall. But because my part, for the most part, is focused on the relationship with Paul Giamatti's character,
right?
That's really all I have to track. So it's just that's another little gift. It's like, you know, I get to just kind of drop in, and they write me such fun dialogue and playing with Paul is like, you know, stepping into the major leagues and or stepping into Wimbledon and playing some great tennis player. It's just it's really a fun gig. I don't have the pressure or the responsibility of, you know, having to carry the show or anything like that.
He is such a great actor, Paul Giamatti, but I love the fact that when you get together with him, most of the scenes you're eating.
Yeah, isn't that funny?
Rob, you remind me of Brad Pitt in the Ocean movies, because every time they showed Brad Pitt in Ocean's 11, 12, and 13, he was always eating. Every time you're on Billions, I feel like you're at a restaurant and you're talking about food, but you're talking about something serious.
Well, the guys are foodies, you know, Brian Copeland and David Levien, who write it. And so they're always trying to control. I think part of it's selfish. They're trying to they want to court favor with the great chefs of New York. So they go shoot in their restaurants and they get treated well. You know, I've had some we shot one episode at the famed Peking Duck House in Chinatown, which I had gone to many times.
Yep.
And, you know, there I was shooting. It was actually the great John Singleton, who passed away, the director recently passed away, was directing that episode. And I had to eat, I think it was, by the end of the day, it was close to 5 Peking ducks by myself. And the thing that I take this, I don't know why I take this as a badge of honor, but people have written that I'm a good eater on camera. And I think the reason is because I actually eat. If you look at 95% of the scenes in TV and movies where actors or actresses, especially actresses, but even actors these days, when they're eating, there'll be like some vegetables and some lettuce, and they'll maybe take a bite of something. But here I was getting paid to eat Peking duck, so.
Oh, my gosh. I love it. We're talking with Rob Morrow, who's on Billions tonight on Showtime. I'm going to take a quick break, and we're going to talk about your music and how people can download it, and they're actually helping out a charity, okay?
Cool.
And also, I do want to mention that you can DVR Billions, Rob, because the biggest thing right now in Chicago is The Last Dance on ESPN. Have you been?
Oh, yeah. What episode? Now, wait. Can you watch that? You have to watch it week in, week out?
Yes.
So I'm going to wait and see the whole thing when it's. I guess I can stream it once it's done, right?
You are so funny. People don't want to wait.
I know, kick me out of Chicago for saying that.
I love the fact that we have to wait. Tonight is episode 7 and 8, which air at the same time, but I DVR Billions and I'll watch it afterwards. But Rob,
so wait, if seven and eight are of the Michael Jordan thing?
Yes, 7 and 8 tonight.
And so I can watch 7 of them now.
You can. You can watch 6, and after tonight, 7 and 8, you can watch 8 episodes after they air.
I'm going to start watching it.
And it ends next week, and I don't want to give away the ending, but we may have won the championship in 98.
Go figure.
Yes. Rob Morrow on the phone. More with Rob next. When it comes to weather, all we want to know is, what did Skilling say? Watch for updated forecasts from Chicago's most trusted meteorologist, Tom Skilling, weeknights on WGN-TV. On the phone with us, our good friend Rob Morrow. You can see him tonight on Showtime's Billions. I want to mention your song, Good Is Dead. The music video is now online. You posted this yesterday. Proceeds from the downloads or the streams going to a COVID-19 charity. I forgot about the California fires. You know, we're in self-quarantine. You forget a lot of things. You shot this video right after the fires. It's very eerie where you're at,
yeah,
Rob.
Yeah, I can't remember if it was my wife. I forgot who it was who just kind of threw it out as an idea, just kind of wasn't really thinking, and I jumped on it because I thought it just worked so perfectly thematically with the song. And my friend Rob Draper, who's a director of photography, great guy, came out and shot it for me, and we went out to Malibu, and we actually got kicked out by Rangers because it was still kind of quartered. You know, we went under a line that you're not supposed to, and went in there and shot.
Right.
And it was so worth it because I just think it looks like you're on the moon or something.
Yeah, it's very strange because everything's burned out. Where's the website people can go and check out the song "Good as Dead"?
So you can get it any iTunes, Spotify, Amazon, YouTube, Pandora, Deezer, iHeartRadio, Napster, TikTok. I mean, it's just any pretty much digital platform. And if you subscribe, you just can download it for free. You already have it, or you can pay 99 cents and and buy it. And we're, as I said, we're going to give 100% of that to COVID-related charities.
I love how people are stepping up during this pandemic. And, you know, I've said this every time we've had you on the show. When you came in studio, what was it, 3 or 4 years ago, and you sang, I'm like, here we are. Here's an actor that wants to be a singer again. You can actually sing. I want to give you props for that.
Well, thanks. I really, as I said, I really love it. Yeah, it's like religion to me. I have a tattoo on my my right arm that is a quote from Saint Augustine, and it's in Latin, and it's like a swirl, that goes into infinity. It goes around and around and keeps repeating the phrase, and the translation is, "He who sings praise twice."
Nice.
Yeah,
I
mean, that's kind of like, as I said, I sing every day. I go in there and I work. You know, one of the benefits of being stuck at home is I just go and play music for five, six hours a day, and it really is my salvation.
How's your marriage? We have a psychologist on the show tomorrow because marriages are being tested all over the world right now.
You know, I feel so blessed because my marriage has been tested before, and now we're reaping the benefits of working through it. We've been through therapy together. We've been through ups and downs and, you know, almost breakups and, you know, but we've been together 25 years, you know, and I feel like we're over the hump. I feel like we're in great shape, and I'm so lucky. She is just this amazing woman that makes me try to be the best person I can be. And
it's interesting that you say that, because I'm going to ask the psychologist tomorrow. She's going to be on tomorrow morning. That people get to, I think it's between 17 years and 20 years, that little hump. And once you make it over the hump, you're good to go.
I feel like if we had a couple bumps, you know, right around there. And I think I feel blessed. And, and we, you know, the great thing is that we laugh a lot, you know.
Yeah.
She laughs at all my jokes, which is the key. That's the key to all marriage, no matter, you know, and she's an easy laugh, so, but that helps a lot.
We're talking with actor Rob Morrow. Remember, you can download his song, Good is Dead. The music video is online right now. Proceeds going to a COVID-19 charity. It's amazing to me how we just got done talking about music, how we love music so much. And last night was the season finale of Saturday Night Live. You hosted SNL when the musical guest was Nirvana in 1992.
It's an amazing story, and it actually has a couple beats to it. I mean, the first part of it was that I was on the show in 1980 as an extra.
Right.
And then 12, 13 years later, I'm hosting the show, and Nirvana's the band, and I knew them a little bit because we all lived in Seattle, so I'd run into them, and I went. The band doesn't show up till Friday. The host is there all week, and on Friday, and they were in a dressing room right across, like, you know, 2 feet from my dressing room, and it was a teeny little room, and I opened the door to say hi to them, and they were all just piled in this room, the guys in the band and all their girls and a couple handlers. So it was like 12 people in this little room, and Kurt Cobain was out flat cold on the floor, just out flat, and nobody mentioned it or acknowledged it, so I didn't. But in order for me to, like, shake Dave Grohl's hand, I had to step over Kurt.
Oh, no.
And so I stepped over him, I shake his hand. Now, cut to about 2 years ago, I'm in New York, and Gina Gershon, who's a friend, says, what are you doing? I said, nothing. She goes, I'm going to go to SNL. The Foo Fighters are on. You want to come? And I said, yeah. So I went, and we watched the show, and then we went back to say hi after, into the same dressing room. Now it's packed with the Foo Fighters, their wives and managers, and I'm standing in the same spot that I had to straddle over Kurt. And Dave Grohl says to me, what do you remember from that night? And I said, well, I told him the story, you know, that I had to reach over Kurt.
Right,
right there. And he said, well, that's the night that they realized Kurt had a problem with drugs.
Oh,
that,
no.
That, I mean, like that they would realize they were in big trouble. Because they had gone on the show and trashed the set on the air. And Lorne Michaels said they'd never be a loud problem than we thought. And eventually, you know, it killed them.
Right. I look at Dave Grohl for a second. Here's a guy that played drums in an iconic band who could play every instrument, but he played drums, and he was in the background, and now he's the head and writer, that lead singer of the Foo Fighters, one of the biggest bands on the planet.
And one of the sweetest, coolest guys.
Yes.
I went to a party, last year. They have this space in the Valley that's in a little warehouse district that's their studio, and it's like the coolest clubhouse you've ever seen. It's just like room after room with just cool couches and bar. There's a bar, and then there's a stage and then there's a recording studio and like every guitar you can imagine. And he was having this big party, and he was barbecue. He was barbecuing for like 200 people. Like he just that was his thing. Like,
I love that. He just seems so down to earth. You know, I'm friends with Rick Nielsen from Cheap Trick. And Cheap Trick was playing with the Foo Fighters at the Cubby Bear in Wrigleyville. And Rick was with Dave in New York, and they called the show. And he's just a normal guy. He's a guy.
No, he's more than a normal guy. He's a normal guy. Like, he's totally relatable, but he's like almost like a bodhisattva or something. Like, he's doing good in the world, you know, and we're lucky for it.
Right.
Did you like his show, that show he had on about the music, about the history of music kind of in America?
Was that, you know what? I saw a documentary about the soundboard in that recording studio. I was just going to mention it. I can't remember the name of it now.
Yeah,
Sun Studios, is that right?
Sun Studios.
It was about this recording, this board in this recording studio at Sun Studios. All these iconic artists came in. Dave bought the board, the soundboard, and had the artists come back and sing with him.
Yeah, they have it at that clubhouse that I was telling you about.
It's so good.
Yeah.
It is, man. Wouldn't that be great to sing with him on stage?
Yeah, I keep hinting, hoping it's going to happen.
Think about it. You're a Hollywood actor. Think about all the rock stars that you know. Who would you want to sing with on stage? Dave Grohl?
I think Mick Jagger would pretty much be up there. I would dig that.
Of course.
Jesus, who? I like John Mayer, you know. I'd like to go up with him. It's endless.
Rob, did you see that special on TV where they had all the artists, you know, the coronavirus special?
Of course, yeah.
How about the Rolling Stones that night? They were
my God.
They were so good.
Oh my God, they're amazing. And that was so, they're just the coolest. They're amazing. Mick is just a phenomenon. He's just a phenomenon I just can't even contemplate how he does what he does, and he does so well. But that, they sounded so good, and they did, and they're so, I mean, they're so on the cusp of technology, the way they use it. I thought that night was so special because there's something about, you know, seeing all these artists in situ, I guess you would say, in their habitat.
Yep.
There's something very you see them in a different way, and there's a humility and a lot of people that you see without makeup, like even myself, who know the tricks of the trade, right?
Right.
When I see someone like, you know, some actress that I think is beautiful, and then I see her without makeup as her regular self, I think, oh, we're all just the same. It's just, those are like tricks to make people look like they're, you know,
right,
you know, something. And it's, I love that, the humility of it. And I also, you know, George Clooney got on this a couple of years ago saying, you know, Hollywood gets kind of short shrift sometimes. And I don't understand it, because the people that make up this industry are just some of the most generous, compassionate people that exist. And what, the money, they go right into gear as soon as, like, day one of this quarantine.
You're
I was
right.
getting requests to do these kind of things, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how much money, but the people in this community, and I extend that to all over, wherever, you know, artists exist that partake, you know, it have done an amazing thing.
I agree with you. Yeah, you do get a bad rap, but there's those people that stick out in Hollywood that you just don't like. Excuse me. I have to ask you about Northern Exposure. I ask you about this every single time. There was talk of the reunion, and you said that maybe something, because I get these text messages, ask Rob about Northern Exposure. Are we going to see a reboot? Is there anything?
There's something. I can't talk about it. But, you know, look, I've been working on it for, I don't
know. As long as I've known you, for 4 years, right?
Yeah, and it's been through three incarnations. And I'm not giving up. It's a battle. I don't understand why. It feels to me like I put up something on my social media feed maybe a week ago, and it was a picture that someone had posted of Joel at the end of his time in Sicily. And I just wrote this little story about what that picture epitomized to me, because he looked so different than when he looked at the beginning. And people went nuts. I mean, I got so much responses and requests and inquiries about doing it. And I can tell you this. I think that the benevolent world that was that show would be a great thing for these times. And I'm doing my best. I don't know why it's so hard. It's just a struggle. But I haven't given up.
And, okay, good.
And hopefully there'll be something, but it's just too premature to say.
And before we go, one last thing. Northern Exposure to me was kind of it was a dramedy. It was a comedy and a drama, kind of a dramedy thing, but you were nominated for a dramatic role. Did you see that as a dramatic role or more of a comedic role?
I saw it as, it's funny you say that, because first of all, I saw it as a dramatic role with obviously humor and comedy, but when that in the first year when that show was still kind of finding its legs and stuff, my agent, I was complaining about something, and my agent said, you know, they're talking about replacing you. And I was like, what? And she said, yeah. And I said, why? And she said, because they want someone funny. And I said, I'm funny. And they said, well, they think they want like a comedian. And I was like, I remember watching the shows and people laughing so much. So it was funny that you say that. But I mean, it was dramatic because the stakes for Joel were dramatic. But it was the first time I heard the term dramedy. I think the reason really it was in the category. The categories are fungible, but because it was an hour. There was no real hour comedies at that time.
You're right.
And so if it was a half an hour show, they would have put me in a comedy, I'm sure.
Yes. It's always great to catch up with you, man. I could talk to you for an hour, but I got to run. We have more guests waiting to come on.
Hey, my pleasure, Pete. Really good to hear your voice. Thank you again for always being a champion of the work. And I wish you and your family well. I hope that we're all going to have some light coming up soon, and we can get out and get back in the swing of things. I do, from what everything I read, and I read a lot, you know, we have to be abundantly cautious, but it looks like there's some movement, so God speed us to us all.
I hope you're right. Rob Morrow Band, Good Is Dead is the song. It's online now. Remember, COVID-19 charity. Also, Rob Morrow tonight on Billions on Showtime. Great to catch up, brother. We'll talk again soon.
Okay, peace.
All right. It's 720 WGN.